You don't know that you know, but you do know. So, John Adams. If you've not seen the John Adams miniseries that HBO did back in 2006, I would recommend you watching that. John Adams, when he signed the Declaration of Independence, that week he wrote his wife Abigail, who was living outside Boston. And he said this in the letter: Independence Day should be celebrated with pomp and parades, with shows and games, sports, guns, balls, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, this time forward, forever. We always need to be celebrating what our country was founded on. The Liberty Bell was rung on July 4, 1776, and on the Liberty Bell is inscribed Leviticus 25:10. And if you're not familiar with that verse, it says, "Proclaim liberty throughout the land to all the inhabitants thereof." The Mayflower Compact that the Puritans signed that established the Commonwealth of Massachusetts ends with, "To the glory of God and to enact just and equal laws." Declaration of Independence mentions God 6 times. George Washington, in his first inaugural address, said, "It is now my fervent supplication to the Almighty Being who rules over the universe, that his benediction may consecrate the liberties and the happiness of the people of the United States of America." Thomas Jefferson wrote, "Almighty God, who has given us this good land for you, for our heritage, we humbly beseech thee that we may always prove ourselves a people mindful of thy favor and glad to do thy will." And Woodrow Wilson wrote, "America has been a Christian nation for the purpose of exemplifying to the nations of the world the principles of righteousness found in the revelation of God." Sam Adams was asked, this was before he invented the beer, Sam Adams was asked, "What is the foundation of the Constitution of the United States?" And he answered, "The New Testament." In the Gettysburg Address, Abraham Lincoln said, "We here highly resolve that these dead shall not have died in vain, that this nation, under God, shall have a new birth of freedom, and the government of the people, by the people, and for the people, shall not perish from the earth." Psalm 33:12, a good verse to mark in your Bible. "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance." Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord. Billy Graham has often questioned how long God can continue to bless America. One of his famous comments was, "If God doesn't judge America one day, he's going to have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah." But I want to talk about two things this morning. I'm going to beat Bill Kaufman. He usually has 3, 4, 5 points. I'm going to do 2 points this morning. We're going to leave. Does that work for you? You know the Dr. Phil question. How's that working for you? Okay. The faults of America. Alexis de Tocqueville toured our country in the 1840s. And this is one of the things he wrote. "I sought for the greatness and strength of America in her commodities, harbors, and ample rivers, but I didn't find it there. In her fertile fields and boundless prairies, but I didn't find it there. In their rich mines and worldwide commerce, but I didn't find it there. Not until I went into the churches and found the pulpits aflame with righteousness, then I discovered the source of the strength in America. America is good, and as long as America is good, America will be great. When America ceases to be good, America will cease to be great." Psalm 9:17, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and every nation that forgets God." What are our faults? Crime rate seems to be going up. I don't know whether there's more crime in the world today or we just know about it because of communications, but we have crime. Psalm 10:4, there is no thought of God in the mind of the wicked. Lack of swift punishment. You know, you can. It can be 2 or 3 years for you to come to trial. You can sit on death row for 30 or 40 years before you're executed. Very interesting verse in Ecclesiastes 8:11. Where justice is not swift, iniquity will abound in the land. You murder somebody, you get the death penalty, and yet you can live 30, 40 more years while the people you murdered are dead. You know, where justice is not swift, iniquity will abound in the land. People are worried about World War III. We shouldn't be because we know how the world's going to end, but the world is worried about World War III. My department head at Polk State teaches a course on Cuba under Castro. And it's interesting, I sat in on that class one day and she was talking about, she was 13 years old and Castro took over Cuba. And then in 1960, 1961, the Russians put missiles in Cuba, what we call the Cuban Missile Crisis. Russian missiles 90 miles from America, actually 90 miles from Florida. And if you grew up down here during that time, you remember that we had fire drills in school. And we also had atomic bomb drills, where they rang the bell a certain way and you had to get down and get under your desk and stick your head between your legs and really kiss yourself goodbye because there wasn't anything you were going to be able to do when the atomic bomb hit you. But we had those drills, fire drills and atomic bomb drills in our schools here, and I grew up in the middle of that. It's interesting, she was telling how she grew up in Cuba, in the town where she was in Cuba, they put the missiles right next to her town, and I'm talking about the same time she's there, I'm in Florida hiding under my desk in elementary school. It was very interesting that day in class, and all the kids are sitting around saying, you're making this up, right? Yeah. Fear of World War II, that's not the way the world's going to end. The world's going to end when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back in judgment and justice. Drug abuse. 90% of adults are on antidepressants or some form of medication. Wow. What does the Bible say about drug use? Honor the Lord with thy substance and the first fruits of all thine increase. Know ye not that your body is the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? God wants us to be careful what we put in our bodies. But, oh, I just can't make it unless I get home and have 3 or 4 beers. My alcoholic Uncle Gene, the Orthodox atheist, he'd come home and he'd drink 12 or 14 scotch and waters and go to bed when Johnny Carson went off. And then he'd get up the next morning and drink 3 or 4 glasses of wine so it could feel better to go to work the next day. Tell me about it. Substance abuse, substance dependency. Oh, I just can't go without having my energy drink. Well, do they still make Geritol? I was thinking about buying some of that. You know, I married a younger woman. I'm trying to keep up with her, so. You didn't answer me. Do they still make Geritol? We don't know. Okay, you don't buy it. They changed the name? Yeah, okay. No moral absolutes. Oh, no. You know, everybody makes up their own right and wrong. It's called relativism. Well, I know you feel that way, but I have a different right and wrong. You think it's wrong, but I think it's okay, and your opinion is not any better than mine. I don't care about God's opinion. You know, God didn't give us the 10 suggestions. He gave us the 10 commandments. Relativism. You have your opinion, I have mine. Egoism, it's all about me. It's good if it's good for me. It's all about me. Ethical egoism, we should always do what's in our own self-interest. And boy, a lot of people live that way today. Boy, if it's not good for me, I don't like it. If it's not good for me, I'm not for it. Didn't John F. Kennedy say one time, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country? I would like to change that a little bit and say, ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for yourself. Well, I'll tell you what, the free stuff costs everybody else, doesn't it? You know, the focus is not on God anymore, it's on me. People, humans, let's make a better world. It's not on Revelation. What does God's word say? It's on rationalization. Oh, how can I make an excuse to excuse my behavior? You understand the definition of rationalizing. It's the skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. The skin of a reason stuffed with a lie. Or as my little brother memorized when he was in second grade, he who makes excuses is seldom good for anything else. Everybody's got an excuse for the way they act today. It's not about obedience. Let's rebel. Let's be different. Let's do something else. Forget the rules. I was reading C.S. Lewis, God in the Dock, not long ago. In the 1940s, Lewis predicted there will come a time when humanities is not taught in schools anymore. They will not teach traditions. They will not teach values. They will not teach heritage. People will not know. Students will not know where they came from. Students will not know what the country was founded on. Students will not know what behavior is supposed to be based on. And boy, we've arrived. They don't know. No moral absolutes. Situational ethics. Joseph Fletcher's book. Oh, sometimes it could be right. Sometimes it could be wrong. It depends on the situation. No. The thou shalt nots don't change. Malachi 3:6. God says, I am the Lord, I change not. It's not a message people want to hear today. What about government has all the answers? Government's going to solve all of our problems. We're going to educate ourselves so we don't need God anymore. Sigmund Freud wrote a book about that in 1929. It's called The Future of an Illusion. He said, society will evolve, will become so technical and have so much science, we won't need God anymore. The future of an illusion, and the illusion is God. We won't need God anymore. See, when people got sick and we didn't have antibiotics, all you could do was pray. But now we've got penicillin and amoxicillin and Z-Pax and all kind of things. So we don't need to pray anymore. We just go to the doctor. Used to, when a hurricane hit us, all we could do was pray. Now we got Super Doppler. So we know it's coming. We will outgrow the need for God. Jesus said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and unto God the things that are God's. Matthew 22:21. You know, the government came to a family and said, the government has a right to raise your kids. And the man handed the government, U.S. Marshal, a coin and said, whose coin is that? He says, well, that's a coin of the United States of America. He said, yeah, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's. Caesar's image is on the coin. Whose image is on my child? The image of God, not the image of the government. Render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, but unto God the things that are God's. Children are the heritage of the Lord. The fruit of the womb is his reward. Our kids don't belong to God, to government. They belong to God. Marriage doesn't belong to government. It's not the government's right to define marriage. Actually, the most Catholic country on earth, Ireland, voted to legalize gay marriage this week. 89% Catholic. And yet, in Ireland, gay marriage will be legal. Or as someone said, you've heard me say this before, why not let gay people get married so they could be as miserable as other people? Because there are a lot of miserable married people in the world today. Gerald Ford said one time, we must remember that a government big enough to give us everything we want is big enough to take away everything we have. Yes, it is. Government has all the answers. Wow. What about the national debt? From George Washington to George Bush, $9 trillion. In 6 years of President Obama, my cousin, another $9 trillion. You know, he's my cousin. He's like my sixth cousin, all right? Barack Obama. My mother and his mother are related, okay? So, $9 trillion from George Washington to George Bush. $9 more trillion, Barack Obama, in 7 years. $18 trillion national debt. What does the Bible say about debt? Romans 13:8, owe no man anything but the debt of love. You don't think credit's a big problem? Most of the stuff you have, you saved up and bought. But now we can have everything on credit. And debt is bigger than it used to be. Wow. Margaret Thatcher said one time, socialism is great until you run out of other people's money. So, a government problem. He who governs best, that governs least. Man is an animal. Yeah. We're just a more highly evolved animal than the other animals on earth. So if you have too many deer, you open deer season, kill off the extra ones. You have too many rabbits, you kill off the rabbits. They're eating your garden. Have too many babies people don't want. What do? Yeah, you guessed it. Theory of evolution. From goo to you by way of the zoo. I shocked world religion class last week. I said, I don't have enough faith to be an atheist. Because you have to assume everything is a giant mistake, and I refuse to believe that I am a giant mistake and you are a giant cosmic accident. I believe that we're all made by God and we have a purpose. It's interesting that there have been over 200 debates between Christians, scientists, and evolutionary scientists, and the only rule was you can't use the Bible. Only scientific data. And in every date, the Christians have won that believe in creation. Actually, theory of evolution is really on its way out because how many atoms are in the universe? 10 to the 64th? How old is the Earth? 4.5 billion years old? There's not enough time for people to evolve, and there's not enough matter for evolution to have happened. They're having to come up with another theory because the statistics for evolution are just almost impossible. Sir Fred Hoyle, who was an atheist, Nobel Prize winner in astrophysics, calculated mathematically the odds of evolution, and the odds were 1 to 10 to the 46th. What does that mean? Well, I had to look it up, all right, because I'm not good at math. 10 with 46 zeros behind it. The chance of evolution actually happening and producing human beings is 1 to 10 with the 46th behind it, 46 zeros. He said it's more likely that a tornado flies through a junkyard and puts together a fully functioning airplane than for evolution to have happened, and he was an atheist. What about prison reform? 3 out of 4 go back to prison. They commit crimes again. We're not really reforming anybody. They don't need to be reformed. They need to be reborn. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What about capital punishment? Let's murder the murderers so they quit murdering us. Genesis 9:6, God made the covenant with Noah, and he said, whoso sheddeth man's blood by man's hand shall his blood be shed. Family breakdown. Oh, people don't get married anymore. People don't have two parents anymore. People don't get married to have babies anymore. Boy, isn't that the truth? Wow. We don't have time this morning, but if you do look in Deuteronomy 32, there are 3 steps to the breakdown of a country. 3 steps to national breakdown. First of all, they forsake God. Number 2, they turn to idols or other gods. And number 3, the families break down. National judgment. And godless education. The pilgrims and the Puritans founded public schools so people could learn to read so they could read the Bible, God's word. Luke 21:33, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. I have an original Webster's dictionary, and with the definition of each word, there's a Bible verse where the word is used. Have you ever seen one of those? I'll bring one. Webster, to illustrate the use of English words, put the Bible verses in the dictionary. What does it say? The law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever, and the judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in the keeping of them there is great reward. 1787, over 200 years ago, Edward Gibbon wrote The Decline and Fall of the Roman Empire, and the six reasons he gave 200 years ago are these six reasons. Rapid increase of divorce and decline of the home, higher and higher taxes, public spread for welfare and entertainment, mad craze for entertainment, sports got more and more brutal, building of gigantic armaments and armies, decay of religious faith, and the rise of homosexuality. Read that in The Fall of the Roman Empire. Now, what should be our focus? Carl Schurz is misquoted. You know, people like to puff off and quote him and say, my country, right or wrong. Well, that's not what he wrote. The context of that is, my country, right or wrong, when right, keep it right, and when wrong, make it right. Number one, we need regeneration, individual responsibility. You are responsible for your life. You are responsible for your sins. You are accountable to God for you, Romans 14:12. So everyone shall give an account of themselves before God. Individual salvation. You don't get to heaven because of what grandma did. You don't get to heaven because your family were church members. You get to heaven because of you. The Philippian jailer asked in Acts 16:30, what must I do to be saved? It was up to him. Augustine said, he who created us without our help will not save us without our consent. We all have to choose to accept Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. We need to repent. 2 Corinthians 7:14, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will hear their prayers and heal their land. And then righteousness. Over and over, Paul says, put off this, this, and this, and put on this, this, and this. Live right under God. And we have people that justify any kind of behavior, and it's okay. Oh, I was abused. Oh, I came from a bad neighborhood. Oh, I didn't have a father. Oh, I grew up poor. Well, tell me about it. I did too. Okay? And every bit of education I have, I had to pay out of my own pocket. So go cry on somebody else's shoulder and make something out of yourself. Excuse me. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Daniel Webster said, if we abide by the principles taught in the Bible, our country will go on prospering. But if we and our posterity neglect the Bible's instruction and authority, no man can tell how sudden a catastrophe may overwhelm us and bury all our glory in profound obscurity. 1 Thessalonians 5:21, test all things and hold to that which is true. Martin Niemöller, the German Lutheran pastor, when Hitler was rising to power in Germany, he said, when the Nazis came for the communists, I did not speak up because I was not a communist. When the Nazis came for the Jews, I didn't speak up because I was not a Jew. When the Nazis came for the trade unionists, I did not speak up because I was not a trade unionist. When the Nazis came for the Catholics, I did not speak up because I was not a Catholic. And when the Nazis came for me, there was nobody left to speak up. We need to be speaking up. We need to be acting out. Proverbs 6:23 says, the commandment is the lamp, the law is the light, and the reproof of instruction is the foundation of righteousness. God has given us the Bible to live by, and it's an instruction manual not only for us, but it's an instruction manual for our country. We need to come back to God. We need to elect godly leaders. I think we've elected leaders that reflect us. Maybe we've elected the leaders we deserve. I don't know. But we need to look at the qualifications. Character does matter. Commitment to the country does matter. Do you love the country, and are you willing to put the country first instead of your own self-interests? How can someone go to Congress and make $140,000 a year and come out 10 years later a millionaire? Explain that one to me. We need people that will put God and America first. 1836, the slaves were set free in Jamaica by the British government. And they got together and they made a beautiful mahogany cabinet, coffin. And they took all their chains and all their handcuffs and all their manacles and they threw them in this coffin. And they dug a grave and they buried it. And as they buried it, they sang the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise him, all creatures here below. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Jesus has come to set every one of us free. John 8:32, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free, but Jesus is the truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, then you need to accept him as your Savior this morning. Ron is going to come lead us in hymn number 275, I Surrender.